Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you look around the sanctuary, it might look a little bit empty. The trees are down. The garland that was strung along the edges of the sanctuary are gone. The tree in the chancel is gone. The narthex no longer has the decorations. The Advent candle is missing. It may seem a little empty because of what was here, but who still is here is our Savior Jesus. It is during the season of Epiphany that we find ourselves at this point, and it is during that season that we learn about the beginning of his ministry, the time of his manifestation as a human being. It's a time for a little space between Christmas and the beginning of Lent. Epiphany this year is 9 weeks long. That's really a pretty long time. Coincidentally, there are 9 fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about. And so there are some preachers who choose those 9 Sundays to pick one Sunday for each of those fruits of the Spirit. And I consider doing that. Those are good guidelines for us to live by. The problem with topical sermons is that they can easily become a moralizing sermon. Let me give you some examples. I think the first of those fruits is love. And so it would be pretty easy for a sermon to degenerate to the point where you said, if you don't love everybody in your life, you are not a very good Christian. And that's not a very good point because we can't love everybody. It's just not part of our human nature. Actually, we learned at the church council meeting on Tuesday night that it's hard to love everybody all of the time, particularly truck drivers. The second is joy. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. If you are not joyful, you could say there's something wrong with you. You are a saved Christian going to heaven. You should be joyful. And if you're not joyful, that somehow would make you not a good Christian. And another one of those fruits is self-control. And so it might be said by some people, well, if you can't control your urges, then golly, there's something wrong with you. You must not be a good Christian. But then we all know that we can't control our urges all the time. And the same thing is true of patience. So you could say, well, you have to be patient because you are a child of God and we're not all patient all the time. And so one could say you're a bad Christian if you're not patient. So the bottom line here is that I'm not going to do a sermon every Sunday during Advent or during Epiphany on the fruits of the Spirit, even though the 9 work out really well. We are going to be talking about the things that happen in the season of Epiphany over the next few weeks. The word Epiphany, as we think about it just from a secular perspective today, means a sudden understanding of something. You suddenly become conscious of somebody else's perspective. You suddenly grasp the reality of something that you hadn't thought about before. There is a sudden illumination or realization. It's like in the cartoon where the character would suddenly realize something and the light would come on top of his head. Well, that's kind of the secular definition of Epiphany, but for some of you, Epiphany might mean some other things. For some, it might mean, well, Christmas is over, we're back to the old grind. Epiphany, January and February, is the coldest and wettest and recently the snowiest part of the year. Some people might think in terms of Epiphany, well, okay, it's Epiphany now, and so Lent is coming. For pastors, it is a great time because it's a period of time, 9 weeks this year, when there's only one service during the week. And for some, it might feel like, okay, it's Epiphany, spring will never get here. But from a religious perspective, Epiphany is the season of Jesus' manifestation here on earth as a human being, as our Savior. He was the Savior, he was God, and also true man as well. During this season of Epiphany, we're going to hear more about his ministry. He was baptized, he was tested in the wilderness, he chose disciples, he begins his teaching of repentance and healing and love of our neighbors. In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus begins to choose his first disciples. Two men, Andrew and most likely John, begin to follow Jesus as he passes by. And Jesus recognizes that they're following him. He turns to them and asks them, "What are you seeking?" Not who are you seeking, but what are you seeking? Well, that same question applies to us today. What are you seeking? Why are you here? Do you want some help with your daily burdens? Do you want your life to be made just real easy for you? Do you want to know what is going on in your life, and do you want to change all of that? Is there a burden of guilt on your heart that you need to have handled? Are you looking for forgiveness of your sins and seeking eternal life? What do you want with this Jesus who walks by us today? For those disciples who were following Jesus that day, this greatest person in the world, this Messiah that they had been told he was, that must have been a pretty trying experience. Can you imagine if Jesus walked down this aisle today? Their answer when he asks them that question may seem a little bit strange at first, and perhaps it was, but they answer Jesus by saying, "Where are you staying?" That seems like a kind of an odd answer, but what they are really asking for is, or really saying is, "We want to spend some more time with you. We want to learn about you. We want to hear what you have to say." It takes time to get to know someone. If you think about your good friends, maybe your very best friend, if you think about them and how you got to know them and how much time that takes, that might be a way of thinking about these guys wanting to get to know Jesus. We first met our best friends about 15 years ago at church. One of the first Sundays we were invited to their friend's house for dinner along with them, and we began to get to know them, to understand them, to realize who they were and find out that they were just the kind of people that were a lot like us. Over that 15 years, we've spent a lot of time with them. We've shared a lot of heartaches with them. We have prayed with them. We share our troubles and frustrations in life with them, and they do the reverse with us. When they come to Corvallis, they stay with us. When we go to the coast, we stay with them. We have gotten to be very comfortable with them because of the time that we have spent getting to know them. That's what John and Andrew are saying. Jesus, if you are the Messiah, if you are that promised one, we want to get to know you. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to learn about your teachings. After they said that, Jesus looked back at them and probably smiled and said, "Come and you will see." The word that's translated "see" comes from a Greek word which means to know or to understand or to consider. So Jesus is really saying to them, "Come and get to know me. Come and get to understand me. Come and consider what I have to say. Come, and I will teach you about the kingdom of God." Today, Jesus says those same words to us. Come and see. Come and see. Spend some time with me. Get to know me. Spend some time reading my word so that you will understand my salvation. Come and seek me first, and lots of other things will be added to you. Come and follow me because I can promise you eternal life. After I completed one of the last classes for my LAP certification, we were interviewed by some people from the district. And I was taken by surprise by one of their questions. They said to me, "What kind of daily devotions do you do?" I was taken aback by that question because we didn't do daily devotions at that point. But I quickly remembered, thinking on my feet, that we had a portals of prayer in our house, and I deceitfully described to them how we read portals of prayer each day. Today we have a book called Jesus Calling on the table next to the sofa, and we read it most days of the week. So now I turn that question to you. How will you respond to Jesus today when he says, "Come and see"? I know how I'd like you to respond. I'd like you to read the Bible or do some daily devotion every day. I'd like you to respond like the disciples responded. They said, "Where are you staying?" They wanted to get to know Jesus. And the very next thing that Andrew does is immediately finds his brother and says to his brother, who is Peter, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus' response to those newly found disciples was, "Come and see." Andrew's response to that statement of meeting Jesus was that he introduced his brother. Now, I want you to notice that there weren't any long speeches. There were no tirades on the wages of sin is death. There were no promises of wealth or happiness. Their response was simply to bring Peter to Jesus. They took him there so that he could learn to know Jesus as well and get to know him, to understand him, to consider what he had to say. And so that's how I would like you today to respond to that statement that Jesus makes when he says, "Come and see." Get to know Jesus better. Get to understand him better and better. Consider what he has to say and how what he has to say fits that God-shaped hole in your life. And then invite others to come and see as well. They may not know him very well at first either. They might not understand him very well at first either. But as they consider how Jesus fits that God-shaped hole in their life, they will come to understand him more and more. And he, Jesus, will become an important part of their life as well. You see, Jesus begins with us where we are. And then he changes us into what he wants us to be. But we all know that change takes time. And first, before we change, we have to recognize that he wants us to change. And then we have to receive and accept that he wants us to change. And then begins that process of converting us and changing our lives into Christians forever. And we are always going to be a work in progress. Our change, the work Christ has for us and with us, will not change. We will not be complete until the day of judgment and we are finally in heaven. And so I say to you today in closing, accept that invitation from Jesus today to come and see and know and understand. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.